If God had created all things good and blessed us with the stewardship of this world and had not given us the Sabbath to rest from our labors, it would have been enough for us. When our wickedness was so great that every thought in our hearts was evil, if God had wiped the world clean and begun again with Noah, but had not given us the promise, the covenant of the rainbow, it would have been enough for us. If God had rescued us from slavery in Egypt and claimed us as his own, but had not given us the gift of the Torah, it would have been enough for us. If God had nurtured us with his word in poetry and song, but had not been merciful to us when we strayed from his path, it would have been enough for us. When our hope was lost, if the Lord had sent prophets to guide us, but did not forgive us when we shunned their prophetic words, it would have been enough for us. If God had protected us when we were strangers in a far-off land, but had not defied the laws of nature to keep us safe, it would have been enough for us. If God had come to live with us, but had not emptied himself to take our likeness and our form, it would have been enough for us. If the Messiah had come to save us from human oppression, but did not rescue us from sin and the powers of death, it would have been enough for us. If Jesus had freed us from sin, but not promised the gift of eternal life, it would have been enough for us. If Christ had died on the cross for the sake of the whole world, but the story had ended right there, it would have been enough for us. But it wouldn't have been enough for God. Not nearly enough. Sometimes I think we have lost track of how incredible the story of Easter really is. We celebrate it every year. It comes right on schedule. It's all set by the cycles of the moon. And we make our preparations and we set the decorations. We order the flowers. And we do all of these things to get ready. But are we truly mindful of the importance and the story of Easter? It is an implausible story. It is improbable. It is far-fetched. It's inconceivable. It is not like any other story you have ever heard. But instead of celebrating it with all the joy we can muster, we let Easter be overpowered by bunnies and chicks and pastel dresses and white patent leather shoes and all of those pretty things. Author James Martin says, "People have problems with Easter because it requires believing that Jesus rose from the dead. And talking about death and dying makes people uncomfortable." 8 years ago, somebody took a poll that showed that only 42% of Americans said that the meaning of Easter was Jesus' resurrection. 42% said it had something to do with Jesus rising from the dead. And only 2% identified Easter as the most important holiday of their faith. And what this tells us is that there are people outside of the church who don't know the story of Easter, who don't understand what happened, and there are people inside the church who don't really understand the importance of Easter to them and their faith and their daily lives. This week, there was a report on NPR on their website, and I think of them as a usually pretty reliable, fact-checking kind of, you know, outfit. But this is what it said. It was put out on Good Friday and described Easter as the day celebrating the idea that Jesus did not die and go to hell or purgatory or anywhere like that, but rather arose into heaven. NPR, National Public Radio, said Easter is when Jesus arose into heaven. And in reality, Easter, of course, is the day when we celebrate Jesus' earthly resurrection, not his going to heaven. And if you know the Apostles' Creed, which we say all the time, or the Nicene Creed, it says Jesus died and did go to the place of the dead, to hell. And today, we will confess that in our creed later on in the service. So here's this, you know, big-time news agency and a story that's been around for over 2,000 years, and they got it wrong. They think it lasts one day, too. But the church's celebration of Easter lasts for 50 days until Pentecost. But on day 40, that's when we celebrate Jesus' ascension and going into heaven. Somehow the fact checkers at NPR missed reporting the accurate details of Easter. Now they quickly fixed it, corrected their report. A bunch of Christians got after them, apparently. And they described Easter simply as the day Christians celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And an NPR spokeswoman declined to say how the erroneous description of Easter reached publication. Well, apparently we don't like to talk about it enough. And there are congregations who don't use the creeds, and they don't talk about Jesus' death and his body and his blood when they do communion because they don't want people to feel uncomfortable talking about the body or the blood or the crucifixion or the death. It's too unpleasant. And people might not stick around if they thought that our prayers and our language was that graphic and that we were talking about those things. But the problem is you never get to Easter if you don't first go to Good Friday. Jesus can't resurrect if he never dies. Death is a central part of our story. It's an important part of his story, but it is also central to our story, who we are. Over the years, there have been all kinds of theories about how it is that Jesus resurrected. How did it work? Was it physical, actually physical, or was it just spiritual? Did it literally happen, or was it just a figure of imagination? Was Jesus' body resuscitated or reanimated, or was it more of a spiritual thing? Was it a rising of his soul, or was it all just a metaphor? And people have been arguing about this from the very start. What happened? How did it happen? And if you Google this, if you start looking around to see for some explanations, you are bound, I mean like on the first shot, to come up with talk about zombies and vampires and the walking dead. Think about it. The walking dead, yeah, Drinking, the body, yeah, bloody, yeah, okay, vampires and the walking dead, all right. But we can't explain it any more than we can explain baptism or communion. I can tell you about those things, but it's a part of a larger experience, and it's a part of your faith. I can't tell you exactly how Jesus did it, but I believe that he did. Bishop Will Willimon has said there are so many ways to explain the resurrection, but the point is we can't explain the resurrection. The resurrection explains us. Whether we understand how it works or not isn't the point. Whether we agree on how it happens isn't important. What is critical is the understanding that the resurrection of Jesus Christ defines and shapes us. We are resurrection people. And it's not just about believing that a dead body came back to life. The soldiers and the priests who were there at the tomb later on, they believed in the resurrection of the body. They were very quick to say, this is what happened, we need to hush it up. Being resurrection people means understanding that Jesus coming back has healed the relationship between us and God. That no matter how bad it gets, Jesus has called you his brother or sister. That's what it means to be resurrected people. Nothing can ever change that. Nothing can get in the way of our relationship with God. Nothing, not even death. And so we need to talk about the resurrection and share the good news that our guy came back. Look at all the world religions. There is none other where our guy comes back, and not for himself, but for us. Because Easter is not about believing that Jesus rose from the dead. It's about what you do with that belief. Preacher Richard Lisher says, resurrection isn't a topic to be dusted off for Easter and funerals, but it lies instead at the heart of all serious ministry. At the center of everything we do as individuals, as a congregation, or as the whole church should be the good news of the resurrection. Mark tells us that the women were frightened, and that's where he stops telling his story. They're scared and they run off and they hide. But clearly they had to have told somebody at some point. And just like the women at the tomb, we should be compelled by that good news to tell people that God loves them no matter what. That God will forgive them, absolutely. And that new life in Jesus is possible each and every day. John Shelby Sponk said, what the resurrection says is that Jesus breaks every human limit, including the limit of death, and by walking in his path, you can catch a glimpse of it. By walking in Jesus' path, you catch on to the truth that death never has the last word for Jesus or for us. And of course, some days are going to be better. Because just because I'm a child of the resurrection doesn't mean that I have all of it all figured out. And our worries and our doubts can get in the way of our faith. And clearly they do. Because if we could truly live out our faith, if we really acted the way that we say we believe, if we were the Christians we claim to be, think how different our lives would be. How often there's an opportunity to share and we keep quiet, or how often we worry that we're taking a risk that might impact our lives somewhere down the line. We think, I'm not sure I want to do that. There were several weeks where I was between being called and trying to figure out how to end my other job. And in between there was a whole bunch of me being afraid of not being able to be the person that I think God has called me to be. Because it's hard to try something new. It can be scary to talk to new people about things, even things that are deeply held. My husband, on the other hand, met someone at Home Depot and told them all about you. Oh, you're moving to Perkasie? What's that about? Man, he's the whole thing, where the church was, what was going on, come for Easter. I don't know what he's afraid of, but that's not it. Okay? So we have opportunities all the time in weird little places, bowling alleys, you know, when you go somewhere and someone says, why are you all dressed up like that? Or what's going on today? You mean you can't play golf on Sunday morning? Why not? What's with you? Well, let me tell you about this. In a few minutes, we're going to proclaim our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. And I always feel it to be so odd because we've said this thing again and again and again, and we look down. And we look in, we look at the page, we don't look at each other. We say the words to the people who know them the absolute best, and God already knows the creed, so it's not like we're telling God, this is what I believe. So who are we telling? Shouldn't we be telling people who haven't heard it yet? Shouldn't we be saying, let me tell you a story. This is the best story you will ever hear. My people, the ones at that church on the ridge, my people, believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he's the Son of God. He's the light from light. He's the true God from true God. For our sake, for my sake, for yours, he was crucified. He suffered death. He was buried. And then 3 days later, he rose again. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead, and we believe in the life of the world to come. And because we believe those things, because we are living lives that are shaped by those beliefs, that makes all the difference. Let me tell you this story. It will make all the difference to you in the world. That's what I believe. Happy Easter.